I call your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 1 to 18. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went they not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Many errors abound in respect of Mary Magdalene. Some have propounded the notion that prior to her conversion she was a prostitute, and that idea has no foundation in scripture history. Then there's the myth of the Holy Grail, the vessel that was supposed to have contained the blood of Christ, caught by Mary as she stood at the cross. Another legend says that she travelled under the protection of her brother and Joseph of Arimathea, and brought the Holy Grail to the coast of France. But the real Mary Magdalene is found in the scriptures of truth. Secular history and writings are to be judged by the word of truth, and every myth and embellishment in those writings is to be repudiated. It is by God's word that our minds are liberated and kept from error. And it is by God's word that we're enabled to do Jesus' bidding when he said, Judge righteous judgment. We're going to judge righteous judgment on Mary, and we're going to think about the real Mary Magdalene. First of all, there is her craving for Jesus. In verse 1, Mary comes to the tomb, as the text says, early when it was yet dark. And you know, when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we will show it early. Mary is ahead here of the rest in visiting the tomb, because she had been forgiven much and she loved much. Mark 16 verse 9 tells us that she was the one out of whom Jesus cast seven devils. And here is the testimony of those who appreciate what God has done for them and in them by his saving grace. They say in the words of Isaiah 26:9, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early." Second, there is Mary's concern about Jesus. The word "runneth" in verse 2 shows her keenness. She couldn't get to the disciples fast enough. She wanted to be the first to tell them what had happened. She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and reports about the empty tomb. I believe that Mary Magdalene beat the other woman there, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, Salome and others who are mentioned in the other gospel accounts. She was at least the spokesman for the rest. For note carefully her testimony in the text. "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." Although the truth of the resurrection hadn't yet sunk into Mary Magdalene's heart, yet she was keen to talk about Jesus. And you know, the Bible promises in Malachi, it affirms this in Malachi, it says that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and a book of record was written about those that thought upon his name. "And they shall be mine," says the book, "in the day when I make up my jewels." Those who have a concern about Jesus, born of the grace of the gospel, are counted by Jesus as his jewels. Are you one of Christ's jewels? Do you have a craving for Jesus and a concern for Jesus? Then in verse 11 to 13, we have her crying for Jesus. We read that Mary stood weeping. And she stood weeping because she thought that Jesus was still dead. She seems to have forgotten the testimony of the angels in Luke 24 and verse 7 at the first visit. But mercifully, Jesus wasn't far off from the weeping Mary. And he soon shows himself to her and he heals her broken heart. What a wonderful thing it is to know that despite the weaknesses of our faith and all the brokenness that comes to us with the disappointments of life, our Savior Jesus Christ is a conquering Savior. He's a God at hand too. Jeremiah 23 verse 23. The hymn writer put it like this: "Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's a friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands." Following on from that, we have her comfort in Jesus, which we discover in verse 11 to 17. You know, peace didn't come to Mary Magdalene's heart until the Lord Jesus himself spoke to her. She realizes that she's not alone at the tomb, and a personal word brings her to her senses and gives her the assurance which she so desperately yearned after. She doesn't respond to the first word of Christ, but when he calls her by name, everything changes. Her heart skips a beat. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." And she turns herself and says, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Has Jesus Christ spoken to you by name? "My sheep hear my voice," said Jesus, "and I know them, and they follow me." Christ's word to the soul gives us the comfort that we need. Let us pray, "Lord, speak to me in such a way as I'll never forget." And then finally, we have Mary's commission from Jesus. You know, one of the striking things about this passage is this, that it's a woman, not a man, but a woman, who's the first person the risen Christ commissions to preach the gospel, the good news that he's alive. And his word was, "Go and tell my brethren." Beautiful words of comfort and solace. A reminder to his disciples that though they had forsaken him and fled at the hour of crisis, and though one, Peter, had actually denied him with oaths and cursings, he still counted them as his own. It's an amazing token of God's love that he tells us in the book of Hebrews, wherefore he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Great to have friends and other Christians, fellow believers, but what a friendship, what a relationship, what a brotherhood there is between Christ and his disciples. My brethren. And then he says, tell them that I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Jameson comments, he says not our Father and our God, and all the deepest of the church fathers were wont to call attention to this, as expressly designed to distinguish between what God is to him and to us. His Father essentially, ours not so. Our God essentially, his not so. His God only in connection with us, our God only in connection with him. Well, in the end, Mary honours the message given to her by not altering it, but just giving it to the disciples as it was given to her. And by the very manner in which she delivered it, she honoured that message. The word in the Greek in verse 18 is the word apangelo, which means to bring the word to or to bring the word home to. That word was not just in her mind, it was so alive in her heart that it was going to register when she delivered it to others who needed to hear it. Doesn't that teach us about how we're to honour the gospel? Just to honour it by telling it as it is with our whole heart, because we know the saving power of its truth and we know that it's absolute. It's the truth, it's the whole truth, it's nothing but the truth. Therefore, we should tell it as the truth. We have the truth if we're Christians, and we needn't be ashamed to say so. You know, there's a tale told of an old English actor called MacReady. An eminent preacher said to him one day, he said, I wish you'd explain something to me. Well, he said, what is it? I don't know that I can explain anything to a preacher. The preacher said, what's the reason for the difference between you and me? He said, you're appearing before crowds night after night with fiction, and the crowds come wherever you go. I am preaching the essential and unchangeable truth, and I'm not getting any crowd at all. MacReady's answer was quite telling. He said, it's quite simple. I'll tell you the difference between us. I present my fiction as though it were truth. You present your truth as though it were fiction. No, let's present the gospel as though it were truth, because it is truth. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God bless you.